Talk more with Big Joe Klein about the NBA and UALR, but Christy Dosh joining us. Welcome back in the zone, Christy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. And when I mentioned that I was talking to Christy about It's a Wonderful Life, I didn't mean this one. I meant the woman that I'm married to at home.
She knew.
Spells it the same way, though, oddly enough. Christy, we appreciate you coming back in. Christy's been a busy sports business reporter lately. ESPN.com and ChristyDosh.com if you want to follow her work. Also a book this year, a book coming out next year. So you got to be exhausted, sister. I mean, you need a break over the holidays.
I think there's a conspiracy amongst these schools. Like, every time I turn back in a new draft of my book, another school decides to change conferences, and I have to get the book back from the editor, edit that chapter again. You know, I just feel like it's going to be like a computer. The day it comes out, it'll already be obsolete, at least that one chapter.
Yeah. I never thought about that. Yeah, you may have to just publish it online. The book is Saturday Millionaires, Why College Athletes Will Never Be Paid, and Other Untold Truths About the Business of College Football. It's coming out over the summer next year. But like you said, there could be a number of revisions between now and then. We got the news this week, the Big East, the Catholics are they're getting out. They've had enough.
Flexing their muscles.
Well, that's how they do. So, yeah, crazy week in sports. And you also wrote the book about baseball, Balancing Baseball, How Collective Bargaining Has Changed the Major Leagues. That came out this year. Let me ask you about the Josh Hamilton deal initially here, what your reaction was to it. And we were just talking about the monopoly money in Major League Baseball. It is freakish.
You know, the argument I hear over and over is that baseball isn't very well balanced, and that, you know, the teams at the top are able to have higher payrolls and play payers more. I've talked to a couple of different former baseball executives, and when I first started writing my book, I was speaking to one, and he told me he was the director of scouting for a team when he was in Major League Baseball. He's no longer. He's in a completely different industry, and he told me, he said, Christy, any team can sign any player that they want. He said, if they tell you they can't afford a player, it's that they've decided that player isn't actually worth that amount of money. He said when he really wanted a player and he felt like a player was worth it, and he was with a team that I would say falls around the middle of the pack. They're not one of the richest, but they're also not one of the poorest. He said, if there was a player I want, and I told my owner, this guy's worth this kind of money, he said, you could get the money. So he doesn't believe that some teams can't afford to. He thinks they make business decisions not to spend that kind of money. And we're seeing these local TV deals pop up that are worth so much. That's why we see the Angels grabbing so many guys last year and this year, is because they have really increased their revenue with their local TV deal. But baseball teams share a lot of money, far more than you see the NBA do or the NHL do. It's tough to compare it to football because it's just a completely different economic model. But, I think the imbalance isn't because of the way the rules are structured. It's because of who the ownership is and how they choose to run their teams.
Fair enough. Christy Dosh joining us in the Zone, ESPN business reporter. Big Joe Klein, NBA legend around these parts, had a question. He's also a big Kansas City fan.
Would you explain to me the Royals, please? I'm dying. I'm dying. It's been since 1986. I mean, you just said we got money to spend, and
where's it going?
Just explain it to me.
It's expensive to run those fountains in the outfield, Joe, I think is the problem.
Water bill? What is it?
I grew up in Atlanta in the 80s with the Braves, so I feel your pain. I remember what that was like, and we had a good period there for a while, but they've made me nervous the last few years, so yeah. I feel your pain.
they're driving me crazy. I mean, they...
At least the Chiefs are doing.
The Royals. Would you say the Royals though have money, a little bit of money to spend, and are not spending it, or are they like Tampa Bay? Whereas you always hear that Tampa Bay has no money at all, but they seem to finagle and work, and they sign a few guys to a little bit of money, and I look at Kansas City and go, well, why can't we do a little bit of that?
They have the Walmart money behind Kansas City? You're telling me they don't have enough money to go get some players. They could. Mike Ilitch at Detroit is in very failing health. He's going to win a World Series before he dies. He just locked up Sanchez, their fourth starter, for $80 million. If they want to buy players, they can.
Christy, does Kansas City have any answers?
All I have to go on is what this guy told me. He said any team could afford any player they thought was worth the money, and that every team just has a different idea of the type of business model they want to use. Every owner has a different reason for owning a team. And based on what we've seen in recent years, that owner must not want to pony up the cash to get the the top-notch players, or he doesn't think they're worth the money.
Yeah.
Okay, so
they're cheap. Yeah, they're tightwads, or he evaluates like an idiot. One of the two
things.
Very
lawyerly answer there.
All right, I get very upset. One of my biggest pet peeves is the business model of college football, and there isn't a lot of revenue sharing there, at least not enough, you know, for teams that we root for in a lot of cases. There was a story that came out, I guess, that you had this week talking about the buyouts, and that's been a big story. That's one thing that just it drives me crazy. The amount of money these guys are paid to go away, and you see the amount of money that, like, Tennessee paid their head coach and assistants to get rid of them. And then you bring in, of course, and the next guy, of course, you've always got to pay more than the guy you had before, whether or not his resume is more impressive or not. But does it bug you as much? I mean, to me, that's like the biggest, most annoying thing is from a business standpoint in athletics today for me.
It doesn't bug me, but let me tell you why. You know, I think the market dictates those guys getting that kind of money. And the difference a coach can make, not just on the field, but financially. I took a look, actually, at Bobby Petrino, who I'm sure you all know well there.
All too.
And looked at the impact he had on Arkansas. And it's a lot of indirect correlation. You can't say that everything was because of him, but you can look at historical data from before he came and then during his time there, and not just in the athletic department, but the university in general. As the athletic department became more visible because the football program was getting better, and because Bobby Petrino, I think, generally likes to stay in the news, they got a lot of it's called the advertising effect. You saw applications at Arkansas grow at rates that were higher than national averages. You saw enrollment enlarge. Students were coming. They were staying there. You have more out-of-state students. They're paying more tuition. The athletic department's finances saw a huge increase during his tenure there. And I did a piece on it about the time he got fired, just to sort of talk about, you know, his tenure there and outside of what he did there in the end, the impact that he had had. And it's undeniable, and you see that with quite a few coaches in both football and basketball, that you can really trace an athletic department's financial success to the time a coach is there. So I think the money in the end is worth it. I can't remember exactly what the numbers were in the Petrino piece, mm-hmm. but the numbers you could sort of trace during his tenure amounted to far, far more than his salary.
Talking about college football going on here, we were looking at the numbers, and yet I guess another column here this week, and it was quoting the numbers that came out about profit in football, college football. Texas is number one, which probably surprises nobody. The fact that their revenue and profit margin is so much greater than the second school, which is Michigan, is a little bit surprising. What do you attribute that? I mean, what all plays into that? Because Texas doesn't have, you know, the biggest attendance. You know, as far as that goes, there are a lot of stadiums that are larger. There are a lot of, you know, schools I would think that would have some advantages. But talk to me about Texas's advantage over everybody, and clearly it's pretty huge.
The biggest difference both between them and everyone else at the top, and then between sort of those top, I'd say, 15 to 20 schools and everybody else, is donor contributions. You know, it's not TV money. Certainly the TV money helps. You see the SEC and the Big Ten teams towards the top along with Texas. You know, the TV money counts, but it is nothing compared to what these schools bring in from donations. I know Florida, Georgia, a lot of the SEC schools like that bring in around $40 million a year just from donations. I can't remember what Texas's exact number was, but it was enormous, and it is the majority of their income. It's just a large alumni base, and it's a large alumni base that is very supportive of Texas athletics, and it's not just the football team. You actually see some of the Olympic sports at Texas getting pretty high donor levels, and that's not something you see at very many schools. Mm. So it's alumni involvement. It's alumni opening up their wallets.
That makes sense, I guess. Okay. Christy Dosh joining us, ESPN business reporter. Check her out online at ChristyDosh.com. As far as basketball goes, I thought we were all around here very excited to see that Arkansas is more than holding its own from a basketball standpoint. Not only that, the fact that they're holding their own from a financial standpoint against a school like Kentucky, which seemingly is, you know, always you know, talked about first when you're talking about the SEC, and certainly their success would you know, make it understandable. But talk to me about where Arkansas sits and how the whole SEC kind of looks.
In the SEC, Arkansas is actually top in terms of profit. I think they were sort of neck and neck with Tennessee. Kentucky's actually not up there, and people are always surprised by that. Every year I write a piece about Louisville basketball and about how they really bring in more in revenue and have larger profits than most football programs. When you put them up against football programs, they're number 18 in the country behind 17 football programs.
Wow.
And Kentucky fans get upset, and they say, there's no way Louisville makes that much more money than we do. And, you know, SEC fans are always shocked to find out Kentucky, you know, is kind of middle of the pack in the SEC. They do pretty well revenue-wise in terms of basketball nationwide. They're far above the average. However, Kentucky is in an older arena. It doesn't have a single suite in it. The majority of basketball revenue comes from donations that are tied to suites. Kentucky misses out on all of that revenue. They end up making exactly half of what Louisville makes. And Louisville, you know, has been in a new arena. I think this will be the third season. And even before they were in the new arena, when they were in their older arena, they had suites, and they were able to demand donations, even though it was an older arena. You know, Arkansas, I haven't been on campus. I'm actually, I think, making a visit this spring, but I hear has a nice new arena. They're bringing in a really healthy sum for basketball, and it puts them on top of the SEC and actually in the country when you match them up again. Basketball and football programs, the Arkansas basketball is number 56 in the country for profit, so they're doing really well.
Yeah, Bud Walton Arena's, I guess it's been around quite a while now, but when they built it, it was sort of the place. I mean, the palace. I mean, so
did you say Arkansas basketball is 56th in the country in terms of?
If you line up all the football and all the basketball programs for schools that play in the FBS, they're number 56 for basketball, number 12 for football.
Yeah, that's
impressive. What does that put them with basketball programs? I'm sorry if you said that.
They were tops in the SEC,
basketball,
right?
Programs. They're tops in the SEC, very close, neck and neck with Tennessee.
But overall, were you able to?
I don't have those numbers yet. That's coming out next week.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, I'll follow you on Twitter if you don't mind tweeting it out.
Absolutely.
I'd like to pass that along to the folks.
Sports Biz Miss, if you want to follow Christy on Twitter. Yeah, that's interesting. So, you know, there has been, you know, not a lot of criticism, but there has been some criticism of the university and Jeff Long as an athletic director. You know, they put in this RSVP program, and really they're just modeling what a lot of other major universities are doing as far as seat licensing, things like that. But clearly what they are doing is working from a revenue standpoint.
They are very healthy financially, not just within the SEC, but nationwide.
Very interesting. So what else, as far as the book goes for the Why College Athletes Will Never Be Paid and Other Untold Truths, about the business of college football. Very long name. I think other than like Fiona Apple's new album, maybe the longest name I've seen in recent weeks. What other untold truths can we expect to be uncovered in your book?
The basis for this book for me was that 3 years ago I was a full-time practicing attorney and didn't do this for a living. And I sort of thought about the things I learned that, you know, when I was just a fan, I thought, oh, wait a minute, I didn't know that. And I tried to put those sort of things in the book and make note of the things that I think fans don't get a lot of access to. And I was really blessed to be able to go around and visit a lot of different schools the last couple of years. I think I've been to almost 36 now and go on facilities tours and learn about their finances. And I want to share that with people. So it's a lot about where the athletic department's money goes. One of my favorite things to talk about is people, you hear the numbers for the TV deals and they sound enormous. But when you really start breaking them down and you get down to what each individual school gets, and then if you divide that out amongst all their sports, it might be football and basketball that's bringing that money in, but that's the money that keeps all the other sports going. The NCAA requires you to have 16 sports. So you have roughly 14 who are in a hole every single year, and that money goes to support all of those programs that are required by both the NCAA and federal law. And I think that's the stuff, you know, you hear the big numbers and you don't look at it broken down. So I do a lot of that. I talk about athletic directors and what makes a successful athletic director, and I do get into the debate over whether college athletes should be paid. And instead of looking at the moral argument, I look at the financial and the tax situation and whether it's even feasible for schools to do that.
Fair enough. Well, we'll look forward to it. We'll have to get you on again before the book comes out, or maybe in conjunction with the book.
Be a great Christmas gift. Now I know I'm going to get you, Justin.
Well, it doesn't come out for 6 months. You can give me a Christmas gift for 2013?
Yeah, of course I will.
Good thinking. I
if
like
it. If it doesn't have pictures, you guys would make
ahead.
It through.
You can, man, that's thinking ahead.
That's right. I already got planned Christmas gifts to 2020.
You can buy me the balancing baseball book that she wrote for this year. How about that?
Fine. Good. It's done deal.
That will be
thanks,
the,
Christy.
That'll be the first gift he ever buys me for Christmas.
Can I get a discount? What is that?
Christy,
20% off since we had you on.
we appreciate you coming on. Christy Dosh, KRISTI-DOSH.com if you want to follow her on Twitter at SportsBizMiss, as we mentioned. And again, always check out her stories on ESPN. Always an interesting conversation. Great to have you back, Christy. Thanks
for having me.
Have a great holiday.
You Thanks, you too.
All right.
Thanks, Christy.